good morning. My name is Alice Dalapalu, and I'm the Executive Director of the Coalition for a Smoke-Free Valley. We're located in the eastern part of Pennsylvania, and I'm here with my co-presenter, Suzanne Smith. We're going to share this time with you this morning to talk about smoke-free and actually tobacco-free campuses on hospital grounds. I want to acknowledge our co-authors on this presentation, Mary Kay Grimm, who is our Senior VP for Human Resources at Lehigh Valley Hospital, and Donald Hugendobler, I promised I pronounced his name correctly, in the Environmental Health and Safety. He's the Director of Safety for the institution. There's one name missing from this presentation. I just want to share a little bit of history about how this evolved. Dr. Mark Young was the chair of our community health department several years ago. He has since passed on. But about 4 years ago, he came to me as the director of the coalition and asked if I would research some background on campus policies. And what this did was provide us with a wonderful resource opportunity once our process began. And I also want to acknowledge Judith Sabino, who is our vice chair of the Community Health Department, who's in the audience today. The Coalition for a Smoke-Free Valley does comprehensive tobacco programming in the area. And with the resources that I want to acknowledge as well, these resources were extremely useful, and particularly the CD-ROM from University of Michigan. And we had these resources in our hands when the senior management decided that this was something we wanted to do for our institution. The Maine Health booklet is also available through Maine Health, and St. Mary's Mercy Medical Center has an employee toolkit that was really helpful in developing a toolkit specifically for the institution. I also want to add that these tools, as well as the process that Suzanne's going to talk about in a moment, can easily be translated to college campus initiative and other large company facilities that would like to have a tobacco-free campus. So if you are not working for a hospital but know of hospitals in your area that may want these tools and resources in the near future, I advise you as a lesson learned to go out and gather these instruments so that you can have them at the ready if called upon to assist. Just to start off in the how part of this presentation, the CD-ROM that I mentioned from University of Michigan has a wonderful checklist of who to invite to the table. And I think this is essential when you start looking at how to do this work in an institution. It's very important to have senior management buy-in. The first time around, it didn't fly after Dr. Young invited me to get the information. But timing was right on the second try. And the appointed person from the CEO of the hospital became the senior VP of Human Resources, which was a very nice connection with getting tobacco treatment coverage for all employees because she, of course, made those final decisions. And also having representatives from many areas of the institution was instrumental in making sure that all the T's were crossed and the I's dotted when it came time to have buy-in from the entire environment of the institution. We actually had employees who smoked who had management positions on the environmental task force that worked on this. I can tell you that this was a year and a half effort, and that was time well spent for the institution of this size. And in following that, we now have all four hospitals in our two-county area that will be completely smoke-free by the smoke out because the competition was wonderful. I served on each of the other hospitals' smoke-free environment committees following our institution going smoke-free January 1st of 2007. So they did a speed-up process, which I, of course, advised against, but they are getting their policies in place, and so now we have all four hospitals in our two counties that will be smoke-free and tobacco-free throughout their institution well as providing tobacco treatment coverage. Lehigh Valley Hospital and Health Network is a nonprofit tertiary care facility. It is the region's largest employer with more than 9,000 employees. And the really challenge with this initiative was that there's actually 27 employee sites. There's two suburban and one urban hospital campus, so there's three hospital facilities. But there's many other sites where there are offices, leased buildings where employees work. So a lot of work was done also with the owners of those facilities and management companies, as well as the getting on the team, the folks like food resources and employee cleaning teams and et cetera that are outsourced as contract workers. And while the hospital had a building smoking ban in place throughout the past decade, senior management sought to strengthen its smoke-free efforts by instituting this plan starting January 1st, 2007 on all campuses and also within the behavioral health unit, which went into effect in August prior to January, with no glitches, by the way. It went very smoothly. A quote from the manager there who was on the team said, "We had the highest census in August that we ever had, and there was no problems whatsoever." So a lot of the fears and challenges that you hear about kind of go away because of proper planning. And that's, I think, a good takeaway message is the proper planning. There we go. And Suzanne's going to talk about the high and results and other lessons learned.
I'm going to have to talk real fast. My name is Suzanne Smith, and I'm with the Division of Endocrinology, Bariatrics, Diabetes, and Lifestyle Programs, and I'm formerly with Community Health. I want to talk about some of the key elements that we went through to really, you know, implement a successful smoke-free campus plan. And you heard Alice talk about strong support from the CEO of the hospital and the senior management team. When our CEO got up in front of department head meeting in November of 2005, he made the announcement to the staff and to the public we were going smoke-free 14 months later. And that was really important because that 14 months gave the staff time to work on their own quit attempts and then get the public ready for what we were working on. It was adequate lead time for both those employees with that community awareness. Okay, falling apart. as long as it's still standing, I can talk. But we had a lot of personal dedication coming from the CEO and the members of the committee you heard Alice talk about, plus time was allocated so people could have the meetings needed to get together and work out the process, and also allocation of funding so that some of this could take place. One of the other key elements when the CEO got up in front of the audience is he held up a toolkit. The toolkit was, you heard our first speaker talk about the benefits of using toolkits. We had two of them. One for the transition year where we went from a total, you know, the smoke-free buildings to having allocated smoking areas that kind of were out behind inconspicuous areas on the hospital campus. So there was a transition year and then the final toolkit for when the hospital went totally smoke-free. But those toolkits overcame a lot of barriers for people. It talked about things like who's responsible, what are the expectations of the staff and the managers to move the hospital to a totally smoke-free environment. There were letters of support from the CEO, and best of all were the skits and scenarios on how to talk to people who are found smoking in undesignated areas. There were a lot of barriers there. People were like, well, I can't, okay, 5 minutes, I'll talk quick. A lot of barriers for people to implement this when they did not feel comfortable. Another important piece was the fact that the hospital broadened the employee insurance policy and changed the benefits. We had some benefits, but now the smoker could choose any type of medication they wanted, OTCs, over-the-counter, or pharmaceuticals, as much and as long as they wanted. It included spouses and significant others, so people could do the team approach to quitting. Plus, the cessation services were provided by the tobacco treatment program on site, and counseling was made a mandatory part of that. Our methods, it was that smoke-free environment committee that really sat down initially with about a dozen members to talk about the ones who finalized the toolkits and really helped work on the overall effect of the scripting. And I'll just speed up a little bit here. Two other committees that were really busy because we had to have two sets of policies. The Patient and Visitor Policy Committee, what was important there is while we had a pre-existing smoking policy for patients, we now included how to help the visitor. So if the visitor wanted to participate in going smoke-free and needed assistance, resource material was there and the procedure was there. And then we broadened again the employee policy to say designated smoking areas only in the interim year and then going totally smoke-free where it was a zero-tolerance policy for smoking. The Signage and Communications Committee, our Marketing and Public Affairs Committee could not have done a better job. Throughout this presentation, you're seeing different examples of the work they put forth. Two areas that were very helpful. Checkup is the hospital employee magazine that really helped communicate the successes and the importance of our employees going smoke-free. HealthyU reached about 80,000 community members and not only talked about the employee successes, but it also provided basic education. This particular article was looking at light cigarettes and the myths behind the benefits. I'm sorry, the mouse is slow. Again, there we go. What did we learn? Communication. It's all about communication. It's that top-down support with our CEO. Quarterly department head meetings where we were getting up there. Alice and I were both up doing skits on being obnoxious smokers and what do you do and how do you confront a visitor who shouldn't be smoking in a designated area. And then monthly emails. I remember one. It's 107 days until we go smoke-free and just going on about how our employees are quitting and doing well. Plus an employee website so questions could be answered. And then cessation education. We brought in national speakers and provided education for our hospital staff and residents. Sorry about this. There we go. Key learnings. That interim policy to reduce the outside smoking areas and give people time to quit. Ongoing benefit and coverage for employees. And then we focused our strategies on major locations. You heard Alice say this. We had 27 locations that were not on the hospital campuses. And so the best we could do in some cases was say, you know, we're going smoke-free. You're leasing space from us. Could you please, you know, go along with our concept? If they didn't, there wasn't a lot we could do. And we did have one campus where as soon as you stepped off the sidewalk, you were on city property and could smoke. So there's some real challenges there, and we focused on our major areas. There we go. What can I say? Communication is what it's all about. We did institute measures to ensure compliance. We made every hospital employee responsible for helping going smoke-free. But in terms of accountability, it was in the hands of managers and department heads. But it was non-punitive. And then ongoing support for those who continue to smoke. My tobacco treatment program, we're still seeing patients who are hospital employees or family members on a daily and weekly basis. There we go. Behavioral health going smoke-free. I'll just reiterate what Alice said. Really important. They were afraid patients would go into crisis. They were afraid psychotic episodes would outbreak. Not a bit. It went so smoothly, it couldn't have been better. And that snowball effect where the hospitals have not all kicked in locally and actually pushed up their smoke-free campus space. We love it. We've had over 250 employees go through the tobacco treatment program, and it's still growing.